Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Denny Huff. Brought to you by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Now, let's meet the people. Welcome to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Denny Huff.
And I'm Chip Haley. And hello and welcome, everybody. We're just so delighted to have you alongside today.
We are looking forward to this interview. Been trying to get her on, and finally she's got her schedules cleared out and has time for us this morning here on Meet the People. Former president, past president, Miss Patty Shanlaw. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. So we usually start out talking about the vision of who we're interviewing, and I assume you're totally blind?
I am. I have been totally blind for the last 44 years.
Good, I didn't even know you that old.
Yes.
And what do you, what is your sight loss? What's it from?
Retinitis pigmentosa.
Ah.
I am the fifth generation of people in my family on my mother's side having RP.
Now, go ahead. We've got a little bit of a delay here, so bear with us on that, okay? Go ahead.
So I expected it, but really didn't, thinking perhaps it would be prolonged much longer than what it was to lose my vision, as I did. I was 25 years old, and I lost my vision 3 months before my oldest child was born. But in the history of my family, most people would lose it like in their maybe 50s, 60s, 70s. Mm. But But through that pregnancy and the trauma and everything, it just took it over.
So how many?
And I was totally blind by the time Chrissy arrived. Mm.
So how many children do you have? Just Chrissy, or?
I have Chrissy, and she is 44, and Michael is 38.
Mm. Okay. And you have, are either one of those affected by RP?
No, thank goodness, no,
well, good.
Not at all.
That's great. How about brothers, sisters?
I have two brothers. Homer is the oldest. He was born with RP to the point, you know, there's several, many, many different strands of RP, mm-hmm. and his was the one that he had no vision from birth.
Wow.
And he is, I can't believe it, 80 years old.
Wow. Wow. And, I didn't realize he was that old. Wow.
Yes, but he is as alert and on things like he's 35, you know. Uh-huh. He's got it going on. He lives in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, with his wife, Angie. And we have a brother, Harold, who is 78, and he lives in Troy, Missouri, where we grew up. And they obviously, I'm sure everyone can tell, they are much, much older than me.
Chip?
Yeah, Patty, you know, you mentioned you were 25 at the time that you begin to lose your sight. And I can identify with that because I was just about that same age. So how was it for you as, oncoming mother about to lose your sight? What kind of mental adjustments did you have to go through before you finally accepted your vision loss?
It was absolutely terrible. I grew up with blind people. My mother was total blind by the time I was five. Of course, my brother He's 11 years older than me, but of course, my entire life I knew nothing but that. But he functioned as if he were sighted. Only thing he couldn't do was read and drive a car. And other than that, boy, he did everything. We grew up on a farm. He bucked bales. He did everything there was to be done. So he was really a role model for me. But I always would push it back. You know, I was the one that helped them do whatever I could do to, you know, keep things going on. And thank goodness I did have him, because the first 2 years I was blind. I just couldn't even talk about it without breaking down and crying. I just could not handle it. I hated myself. I couldn't stand this. I was a music teacher. I couldn't have a job. You know, this was way back in the 70s where we didn't have ADA and all the things we have of today regarding employment. And I was considered a big time liability in a public school. So there was no job for me. I gave private lessons. I had 50 private music students a week. So it wasn't that I didn't have something to do and a new baby on top of it all, but it just broke my heart. I just couldn't hardly stand this.
Yeah.
So one day I decided I needed Braille. And so I called. And in Troy, Missouri, the rehab office at that time was in, it was Bureau for the Blind in those days. I came out of Jefferson City office. And so the rehab teacher came. And so I learned Braille very quickly. And at the end of 6 weeks, she told me she wanted to talk to me, and I said, okay. And she stayed the night, overnight, in Troy at a hotel, and then she came the next morning to give me another lesson. And she said, we've been talking about you in the office, and we would like for you to take my job. I am sick, and I am going to have to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was very flattered, but I thought, oh, my goodness. So I said, well, what exactly do you do, you know, on your job? So she told me, and she said, would I be interested? And I said, yeah, I really would. I want a real job. So as a prelude to this job that the Bureau for the Blind had for me, I had to go to Greeley, Colorado to get a master's degree in rehab teaching for the blind. And so I did that. And I really had given up. You know, I had to go, this was 1980 by this time, and I just said, I'm done. I'm blind. There's nothing else I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So when she offered me that opportunity, I also had to go to rehab for the blind in Kansas City for 13 weeks before going on to Greeley. And so that's when I learned mobility. My whole world just opened up. I could read. I could get around. I could function. And so, my giving up in my own mind, giving in to it, made my whole world open up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you move from becoming involved with RSB and everything to the Missouri School for the Blind? What kind of things took place between those two periods, and how you got involved with the Missouri School for the Blind?
I worked for a Bureau for the Blind. When I first got back to St. Louis from Greeley, Colorado, University of Northern Colorado, I worked for ABLE, Alternatives for the Blind in Living and Employment, and that was a rehab center for blind adults. I worked there 3 years, and then I wanted the job that was promised for me at the Bureau for the Blind was filled before I could graduate from University of Northern Colorado. From Northern Colorado. And so then there was no job for me. So I'm sure that many of you know Nathaniel Johnson and his history of working at the Bureau for the Blind in St. Louis office. And so he came to visit me at ABLE one day, and he just wanted to meet me and talk with me. And, of course, I had no idea. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea what his reasoning for this was. And he had cancer and eventually passed away, but he wanted me to have his job. But I didn't know that until after the fact. And so I applied for his job, and I got it, and that's how I started at the Bureau for the Blind. And I was there 3 years, and then my husband, Gene McCulley, passed away, and St. Louis Society for the Blind. At that time, Dick Whiteman was working for them, and he passed away suddenly. So the director of St. Louis Society for the Blind called me and asked me if I would like to have his job. And so I said, well, I would like to have an interview and think about it. So I did. I moved, after being with the Bureau for the Blind 3 years, then I moved over to St. Louis Society. I stayed there 5 years. And I just was getting sick because I was on the road constantly. Between those two jobs, I was on the road 4 and 5 days a week in a car, and I was just getting so sick. It was terrible. I couldn't even get in a car without getting car sick. I'd lay the seat back and just die until we got to the next stop. So I decided, I can't do this anymore. So I was able to, I have a continuous story here. Everybody has to pass on before I can get into the next location. Jim Lee, he didn't pass at that time, but he did retire. And he called me. And, of course, he had been the Braille teacher for like 39 years at Missouri School for the Blind. So he asked me if I would be interested in being the Braille teacher. I said, oh, yes, yes. He knew that I was really getting sick on the road, you know, just that constant motion of the car. And he thought this would be a great alternative for me, you know, to get out of that and into something else. So I did go to the Missouri School for the Blind and was there 20 years.
Yeah,
well, I hope you don't want my job, Patty.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if you've heard, but I am retired, and that means no job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just knowing how you step into positions, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I know it's a little scary.
But yeah. you know, Patty, you mentioned Nathaniel Johnson. For those individuals who may not know, he is one of the MCB awards that's been named after. So, and just listening to you kind of reminisce there, talking about Jim Lee, I mean, it we're going way back, because I remember Jim and Ethel, and just listening to Dick Whiteman, I mean, you're naming names that are just taking me way back. So this is really good stuff.
And I know Chris Lee listens to this recording, so we'll say hi to Chris. That's Jim and Ethel's son.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So, well, Patty.
He knows.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Chris, I know that you and Cecilia know that your parents are very special in so many of our hearts.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, how did you first get started with Missouri Council of the Blind? How long you been a member? What got you involved with this great organization?
Well, we're back to Dick Whiteman. He used to harass me and tell me how terrible of a person I was because I didn't want to be a member of ACB, NFB, XYZ, nothing. I at that time was a single parent of two young children. I had no time for nothing, only focusing on my children. And so I knew Lucille Fierce.
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys know her. Yes,
right.
Indeed. And so I had met her, and she really wanted me to come to UWB. And she, of course, was my sponsor, and I joined in 1993. And so all along the way, as you can tell, I had the anchors of MCB helping me in my journey.
Now, you have been past president. What other positions have you served on? You were also the chair of the sensitivity training and personnel chair. Was there some other positions that you filled?
Well, I was a director at one time. I served several years on the board as UWB rep, United Workers for the Blind of Missouri rep. I also was the chair for the Children's Summit, which was the organization of Blind Task Force. And on the state level, those would be the areas I have served in.
But now you're the current UWB representative for education advocacy, aren't you?
Yes.
Ed, what area in MCB did you really enjoy? Did you enjoy being president? All three of us here are past presidents. So. But I enjoyed my time. I don't know about you, Patty, but I think you did.
There were parts of it that I really loved, and there were parts that were really hard. And in the years that I was there, I'm sure many people remember there were some really hard times.
Yeah.
Well, and that was hard.
Yeah, that goes with the territory. There's going to be good and bad both.
It does.
Yeah.
That's sure right.
Go ahead, Chip.
That's true.
Yeah. So tell us, Patty, you know, you kind of mentioned about Dick kind of bringing you into the organization. Is there anything during your time since 1993 that you've been a member of MCB? What kind of changes have taken place in your mind as you reflect back over the years? Anything significantly stands out in your mind about some things that have happened over the years?
Well, there have been so many things, of course. You know, the blind pension issue, that was huge, 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 and for many years pending, and it worked itself out, you know, to be very successful. That would be one of the things that was on the docket, you know, throughout many of our terms as serving as president. Dick would always talk about Cobblestone, and of course he knew I had Michael, and Michael was just a little guy when I first met Dick, and he was always told me how much he would love it. Well, when I joined in 1993, that summer we did go to Cobblestone for the first time. Michael was 10, and he just loved every second of it. And he went every year. Sometimes I didn't go, but he and Jim always went. And he would tell me all the wonderful things, you know, and so that was a great thing that came of MCB for my overall family, I would say. Enjoyed that so much.
And I know, Patty, at one time, you were also, you know, involved with the Blind Task Force. In fact, you were the chair of the BTF there for a time, and I was on there just very briefly. Yeah. So talk about
several
your time.
Times.
Yeah. So you were actually the one that kicked me off, but that was all right. I was not supposed to be on there anyway.
Yeah, we had you on there illegally, so there
Yeah.
And we had a lawyer on that team, too, if you remember Heidi.
Right,
and
yeah,
she said,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Chip's got to go. It's like, oh, my God, no.
Anyway. Well, you know, you had a time, because there were times, I know you had, like, Kent Kalaga, I know he was a, I don't know, whatever you want to call him, but I know he may have caused you a little bit of headache from time to time. And, but I don't know that, talk about your time as the chair of the BTF.
Well, it was a wonderful experience. I remember the very first time I went, and I heard, you know, the roll call, and there was this lady, Karen, and I thought, I know her. Mm-hmm. I know her. So at lunchtime, we would break for lunch and then continue on after lunch with the meeting. And so at that time, I walked over to her, and of course, I had my leader dog and everything. I had Harrington at the time. And I said hello to her, and I said, did you work at rehab, the blind program in Kansas City? And she said, yes, and who are you? And she was like very much on guard. Right. And I told her who I was, and she just was so happy and excited. And she was my very first mobility instructor.
And I know who you're talking about, because she was mine as well, Karen Halsey.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And she was so proud. And she said, well, at that time, she told me when I went through that, you know, you only have two or three. And I was headed to get a rehab teaching degree. You know, when I left her, I went straight on to the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley. And she said, now, remember, they're all not going to be success. They're all not going to be perfect, but you do the best you can and don't beat yourself up about it. Just do the best you can and it all will work itself out. But she said, you know, you only have, if you have one in your career, or if you have two or three, you have really done something with your life. And I always remembered that. And when she said, when she realized who I was, she said, I am so happy. I've talked about you so much, and I just wanted to see you fully, I love this, fully mature. And what she meant, she didn't mean by anything only career-wise, you know? And so it was so exciting. It was so exciting, but I'll never forget that expression. She said, I'd never heard it before and never since, but I love that. I thought, well, and I understand, because I have two of those in my life that I feel that I had a positive impact to who they are today. And it does make you feel really, 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 really good.
Patty, in the few minutes that we have left here, I want to get just a little bit personal. You mentioned while we were talking before we got started recording, that you're on a diabetic diet and women's diabetic diet. And maybe that'll help some of the listeners out there. Can you tell us a little bit more about that diet, the plan, or how to get involved in that? Are you number one, are you diabetic also?
I'm a juvenile.
Okay.
So I've been all my life.
Now, you had trouble with your blood sugar a few years ago, spiking and everything, and so this is what prompted you to get on this diet, I imagine?
Yes.
Okay.
I have, in my entire life, I've been on a roller coaster with my sugars, all throughout childhood, adulthood, you know, all throughout my entire life. And about 8 years ago, it was really, really bad, and I would just feel like I was going to pass out all the time, and I would have really high and then drop down to zero, nothing, and boy, that just knocks you out. Mm-hmm. So I decided, well, it's time for me to retire. I walked away from my job. I walked away from MCB. I walked away from everything, pretty much, and I was really down and out. And so about 2 years ago, I started really coming back, you know, strong, and now I'm really good. I am on a, it's through Nutrisystem. It's, you know, they send you everything. There is tons of items on the list that you can tailor make your diet, or you can get what's called the chef's choice, which pretty much I do, and because I want a wide variety. I don't want to eat the same stuff every day. But I love it because, you know, everything is prepared for you, and you don't have to eat a certain thing with certain things. You know, you have a breakfast, a lunch, a dinner, a snack, you know, two snacks a day. So you just go in, you pick it out for the day, and there it is.
And this helped you in lowering your blood sugar and losing weight.
It has. I really didn't. I've lost 7 pounds on it, but I only weighed 117, and now I weigh 110, and that's exactly where I want to be. So I'm really happy with that. But it's not really to lose weight; it's to maintain good nutrition and to try to curb down those blood sugars. No, it's not perfect by any means, but I am so much better. I was able to go to Leader Dogs for the Blind in Rochester Hills, Michigan. I left the 10th of October and returned on October 30th with Luna, my fifth Leader Dog, and I worked every day. They had fantastic food, and they will tailor make whatever diet you need, they will have it. I mean, the chef was sauteing vegetables for my breakfast, you know. Everything was just perfect. As I always say, when I go there, I feel like I'm at a resort because everything is just geared for success.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is, for me, it's wonderful. And especially I live alone. And so, yeah, I don't have to worry much about very few things I shop for. Mm-hmm. You know, most everything comes right to the door in that package. There is a dry goods, and then there's the
refrigerated
frozen foods.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I'm glad you got that in there about your guide dog, your Leader Dog. That's good. You just returned about 2 weeks ago, I think, from receiving that fifth Leader Dog, so that's great. They are great partners, aren't they?
Oh, she is amazing. My very first one, Layla, which was 30 years ago, I would say was my best, but I think that Luna is definitely going to be her match.
Ah, good, good. Chip, you want to ask your question?
I do. Patty, is there anything about Patty Shonlaw that nobody knows that you would like to share with folks?
Well, there's just a very few people that know this, but, you know, you have heard people talk about going to college and getting kicked out of college for different things, and they could be academic or they could be social issues, and, you know, several items of interest could be the cause of this, but I got kicked out of college before the first day, actually, of classes started. I went to, I got a full scholarship, a music scholarship. And so they had seen me, but they did not realize the visual impairment I had. I had 20/80 vision, which I would, I give the world for today.
Yes.
But in those days, and a music major, there was a great concern that I just wouldn't be able to make it. So the dean of the conservatory, I thought at that time it was a very mean thing he did, but he no doubt thought it was an act of kindness, told me that I needed to go home and do something else.
Yeah.
And it upset me so much, I called my parents and I left that very day. Well, then once I got home, I thought, no. And most of you that know me, I know that I do have that little stubborn streak in me. And I said, no, I'm not going to do this. And my brother, Homer, who was blind from birth, of course, he was working on his PhD in Chicago, the University of Chicago at the time. He said, that's the most ridiculous thing he ever heard of. And if I wanted to go, there would be no reason not to go. So I got a wonderful rehab counselor, George Dario, from Hannibal, Missouri. And he had graduated from Central Methodist College. And so he went back and he said, hey, I have heard her, you know, she has performed for me. You did give her a music scholarship. And what's the deal? And I went back in January, you know, the next semester. And this would have been January of 1971. And I graduated in 1974. Mm. You know, yes, it was hard. He was right. But I was determined, and I graduated with a bachelor's degree in music education, K-12 vocal and instrumental music. I never was able to use that degree professionally in a school setting as I had hoped until I came to Missouri School for the Blind. And when I retired from MSB, I was the music teacher.
Hmm. Well, good for you,
Patty.
But it
took me.
Yeah. Yes.
Good for you. It took me a long time to get that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, a long, long, long time.
Yeah, we had a conference call last night, peer support conference call last night, and Chip kind of moderated it. But we talked about advocating for yourself, and that's exactly a great example of doing that, Patty, and so glad you did, and that it turned out so well. So
yes,
we are just about out of time here. Is there any final thoughts or remarks you'd like to make, Patty?
Well, I thank you for the opportunity of being with you today, and I am very happy that MCB is coming along. I'm hoping and praying that our new Eugene Taylor, will help us to get on the right track and go forward successfully.
Good, good. Well, thank you, Patty, for taking your time and letting Chip and I interview you this morning here on Meet the People of MCB. And folks, you that are listening, if you would like for us to interview someone, if you have somebody in mind, please give me a call at 636-428-1500, or you can call Chip Haley at
417-540-9703.
Until the next time, be sure and listen again. You might even hear yourself on here. God bless y'all.